on to agenda paper 22.
The AO office staying on, or are they?
No, they're going to leave.
Okay. Thank you very much, the AO office. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so agenda paper 22, and it's on the provisions research project, and it's a project update. And it's really just to give you information about what we're planning to do on this project. The purpose of the project is to get all the evidence we need for you to make a decision as to whether to start a standard setting to amend project to amend IS 37, and if so, what aspects of the standard should be within the scope of the project. A lot of the research has already been done on this, so what we still need to do on the project is update the research and carry out some limited outreach, which we're planning to do with some of the board's advisory groups and some of the larger accounting firms between now and April, and then come back to the board sometime after that with a recommendation on what the scope of any project should be. And really just the purpose of this session is just to ask you whether you've got any comments or questions on the plans for the project.
Françoise?
Well, I'm happy to see that restarted. And in particular, I think paragraph 10 reflects quite well what the board has learned out of past consultations, whether that's been on the project itself or through the agenda consultation. So I agree that an update is necessary, but I would have contemplated that this would be a short time exercise. And when I see that it would have to wait until quarter three before you would just formulate recommendation as to whether we should start a standard setting, and you're like, what's going to happen in 9 months?
Okay.
No. And those 9 months do not line up with my notion of the quick update that is necessary.
Right. It's probably quite a conservative timescale there, and I think we can try to bring recommendations to the board in quarter two, providing nothing else comes up that we hadn't been expecting. So we will try.
Okay. Mara?
Thanks. Actually, questions and comments? The first comment is that we still continue to see in some papers, it's a general comment, like you have in paragraph 10, the word revised conceptual framework. I suggest we stop using the word revised, because we do have a conceptual framework. And I think it's unnecessary to keep reminding people that it's a revised one. This is the first comment. On the project itself, we inform in the paper that this, of course, just reminding people, in particular outsiders that are not following. That's not a new paper, and we've done a lot of work before. And just a question, is all the evidence gathered and papers produced before available in our website for the ones who want to follow or to catch up with the project?
It is available on the website. It's only at the moment accessible via the meetings pages, but from hopefully today or tomorrow, there will be a project page up with all of these papers on it. It's
excellent.
Hours away, I hope.
I think that's absolutely key. And the last just comment, as you mentioned in paragraphs 12 and 13, the dichotomy between the ones who did assert in the past that they didn't have any problem in applying to 37 and the others that do believe it's necessary. I agree with you, and I agree with the board deciding to go ahead with the project, because at least to provide more clarity around the application of the conceptual framework two provisions is absolutely key. I still think I agree with the ones who assert there is a still need for clarity. And
Mary?
I think my comments all fall in the project management category of things to think about. And so the first is, I know that we are about to issue an exposure draft that comes out of work that the Interpretation Committee has done about costs to consider when determining whether a contract is onerous. And I, as I read through the possibility of work that touches on measurement of costs more generally as one of the potential areas for work, makes me think about the interaction with the with the other narrow scope project that comes out of Interpretation Committee. And as I think of somebody who's not a dork like us following this stuff day in and day out, I think that the world could be confused if we did standard setting, especially relating to measurement of things within the scope of IS 37, in two separate projects, in two separate, ultimately, amendments. Now, I don't think we should slow down the work that we're doing out of Interpretation Committee, the follow-up that the board is doing, but I think it puts pressure on us, and to that extent may align with some of Francoise's comments about timing, that we should push to make a decision about whether we are going to move to standard setting, and if so, what would be included in that standard setting before we go ahead and before we are getting to the end of the project that comes out of the Interpretations Committee, because A, I would be concerned, at least at this time from this perspective, about reaching different conclusions about which costs to consider when assessing whether a contract is onerous and costs to consider in measuring a provision, or I'd like to have worked through that and know why before I go ahead and finalize one. So that puts some pressure on it. And second, I think from a stakeholder perspective, it's just confusing to have a series of amendments on related issues to the same standard. Now, I'm not trying to say stop or suspend the Interpretation Committee, but I think we've got to make decisions about what we're going to do. Now, in terms of the decisions about what we're going to do, I think two categories are, I'm hopeful we could answer relatively rapidly, the discount rate question and the measurement, in terms of what costs go in. I think the point about IFRIC 21 and levies and aligning and addressing the concerns, that was one of the things that really encouraged us to focus on definition of liability and the conceptual framework. I don't think we can just amend IFRIC 21. I think we'd have to rearticulate the principle in IS 37. And even if we think it's relatively narrow, I think that's actually going to be quite challenging and involve a lot of testing of the words, because it wouldn't just be about levies. It would be about litigation, uncertain liabilities, et cetera. And it could be quite challenging to do. And I think it would be a relatively high transition cost for all of our stakeholders, because whether or not the change has an impact, I think you'd have to rethink a lot of very judgmental areas. So I think that doing that, we have to be aware, could add a lot of time to the project. I'm not saying don't do it, but I think we have to be aware of that when we're thinking about timing. It's not a tightly contained, because it is a rearticulation of fundamental principle in the standard, even if we have the anchor for that. And so that's a caution I wanted to offer as we think about timing and the interaction of the Interpretation Committee project with this project and how we manage it all. So I think the update is very helpful. I wanted to point out the connection between the two and ask the staff if we can plan things so that we get to a decision about what we are doing in terms of standard setting coming out of this research project before we finalize the onerous, the determining what cost to determine whether a contract is onerous, and to bring those two strands together.
Okay.
Let's make sure that we can do that in a way that we don't slow down that onerous contracts work because of the link with 15 is really important.
Yeah.
Tom?
Just have a couple of questions. Do we have a kind of a census over time of how many 37 issues have shown up at the Interpretations Committee?
We are gathering that information because there are quite a few. And quite a number of them have come up since the last research, so that's one of the reasons we need to update it. But we can get that information, and we are getting that information.
It helps support the direction. I think you make good arguments. And when you do that, then, apparently when the Interpretations Committee writes the agenda decisions, doesn't interpret. they will usually look at the standard and say, the standard answers this question, here's what it says. They don't say if that is sort of a really desirable result, like if the standard says to do something they're silent on that, right?
By design, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. That's the way it should be. So when you go through all those, because there's a hint in here that IFRIC 21 might be in that, we're not like they probably got the agenda decision right.
That was an interpretation.
Literally.
Interpretation.
In that case, it's
an actual interpretation.
Oh, that's sorry, the interpretation, right. But there seemed to be a sense that that may not be the optimal long-term answer when I read this. So if you do go through, it'd be good also just to highlight those sorts of, you know, there is a clear answer, but we're not sure that the clear answer is the best answer.
Okay.
I think would be helpful.
Okay. Chung Lee?
Yes. So, small question. Based on Mary's comment, could you explain the kind of this project, the scope of this project is with the big project, comprehensive review of the non-financial liabilities before. There was a big project. So what is the scope of this project with that one? We have some kind of possibility to expand our scope into that project.
So picking up the matters that were addressed in the previous project,
yes.
We have this scope to cover anything that was, whether it's been addressed in the previous project, proposed in the previous project, come up since. So what we'll be trying to do now is decide what should be in the scope of the new project. But I would have to say that some of the proposals in the previous project received a significant amount of opposition, and we found there was little desire for some changes, and in particular for any changes to the recognition criteria for liabilities with either existence uncertainty or outcome uncertainty. So both users of financial statements and preparers of financial statements and their auditors all felt that the existing recognition criteria are working well in practice, and they wouldn't want to see them being removed as part of a project. So that, although in theory that is something the board could look at, I think it's unlikely to be something that the board will want to pursue, again, given all the feedback it got last time.
I think that's probably the key question, Chung. Once the staff have done the analysis, we'll be coming forward with a recommendation and for the board to decide how big a project we think it should be, given what we heard last time and what we hear in the update. Because while I agree with what Joan just said in terms of the feedback, we've got the challenge with the IFRIC 21 interaction as well.
Yeah.
Françoise?
I would like to bring eventually connotation to what has just been said. Because to me, the necessary supplementary outreach would be to check whether what we have in paragraph 10 that describes the scope of changes as identified from previous consultations, to me, it's really asking whether there would be new evidence that this is no longer relevant, and not a process in which we ask totally open questions, mm-hmm. as if this has not been debated before.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's suggesting
okay.
that.
Yeah, but you know, when you see the timeline, you wonder what's being done during all that time.
I think Joan's wearing quite a few different hats.
Yeah.
Mary?
Well, just picking up on Chengwu's question and then both Sue and Francois' remarks, I think it's very important that the recommendation that the staff bring back to us include a recommendation about whether either as part of a single project or as a second phase to the project, we do anything about the other issues that do not relate to the interaction of the conceptual framework and IS 37. This is not an encouragement to do it. It is a request to bring certainty about whether we have a not currently active, or pipeline research project that may go back and look yet again at non-financial liabilities, because we did have exposure drafts, we did have all that feedback. I'm not saying do a lot more work, but paragraph 10 focuses only on issues that come out of contrasting the conceptual framework with IS 37. It doesn't look at everything else that we'd exposed and kind of in suspended animation now. And I think we should bring closure, either by saying it's a separate project that we'll consider in a future agenda consultation, or we're recommending that we not follow up on that, but just close out those other issues as well.
Okay. Is that enough comments and observations for you, Joan?
Yes, thank you.
Right. Okay. Thank you.